Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. How you guys doing today? Hopefully you guys are having a wonderful weekend, and looks like we are getting ready to come out of the month of April and going into the month of May. We are going through this year quite fast, aren't we? So some of you experiencing springtime weather right now. Some of us got, like myself, got some allergies going on. So apologize in advance for the coughing and maybe the sneezing that you may hear on this episode. But I want to tell you just again, I want to appreciate all of you for tuning in, and just want to continue to encourage you to pray consistently. Read your Bible, read the scriptures, study the scriptures, and study God's word in your life, and begin to help, ask God to apply, help you to apply God's word so that you can begin to grow and mature in the Lord, be strengthened by his word, encouraged by his word. Do you know that God's word is encouraging? And so I just want to give my beautiful wife a shout out, just how proud I am of her and her. She's been just progressing along in God's word, and I can see the growth in her life and everything. And so I'm just really appreciative of her, as well as her family and stuff, her daughter. We've been praying and given a chance to talk about God's word each and every morning, and so I really can see the difference, how it's helping us to grow. And you know, it's just like taking a vitamin or taking something that's a supplement. It's going to benefit you, and so that's how it has been with God's word. God's word has been ministering to us, and it's not anything long and drug out. It's kind of like my podcast. This is where I get a chance to unload of the scriptures and talk about the Bible. I know that some of us, we like a little bit, just enough, and some of us, like myself, I can go all day and just listen to God's word and listen to preaching and reading God's word. So some of us are. But either way, if you are have a small amount or a big amount, God knows how to grow and enhance your learning and get you more. In other words, where you're at in your walk with the Lord, He knows. He will use whatever time that He has. I always want to encourage those of you that are out there to pursue God and give him as much time as you possibly can, because we live busy lives. I live a busy life. And so a lot of times, and I also, speaking of that, I'm doing a lot of my episodes now during my break at my job. And so now I get a chance to minister and read God's word to you guys and record from the comfort of my car, outside of the company break room and stuff. So I want to just thank God for this opportunity and to be able to still do that and still be able to record a episode of the podcast, so that we can hopefully this ministry or this podcast can reach those that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. So listen, I got several up and coming episodes that I'm really excited about, that I want to begin to start working on. It will be some more in-depth study, but this time will be some things that I feel God has really been putting on my heart to talk about, when it comes to just things about the Bible and things about how we can apply God's word to our lives and stuff. So I'm really excited about this. And so I'm keep me in prayer. Keep me in prayer. Those of you that are listening, please keep me in your prayers about this podcast, so that we can, you know, God can use me and direct and guide me in ways that it's beneficial to the body of Christ. So again, I'm just one of probably a billion voices that are out there in this podcast world. Eventually, I think that in the future, and it's maybe years ahead, I may consider going on YouTube, making my own YouTube channel. But for now, this is more convenient for me, having a podcast and being able to record these episodes, and hopefully those of you that are listening will benefit. I know some episodes have been a little long-winded. I'm trying my best to kind of pull it in sometimes, but I really enjoy, as you can probably tell, I enjoy talking about God's word. I get a lot of it from my father, to be honest with you. My father, he loved studying God's word, and that is obviously has rubbed off on me as well. So again, I want to thank you. So before we get into this episode, this is a kind of a decent type episode about Paul. Again, we are in this one here, we are in Romans chapter 15, and we will be getting into living to please others, and then also Paul's ambition, or his letter to those to the Gentiles as well. And so I'm just really inspired by Paul. He has been what you call the apostle to the Gentiles. That is a unique and a good title, because it shows that God had intentionally used him to really bring the gospel to us. And so in this episode, we will talk a little bit about living to please others, and then as well as also how to share, or talking about sharing your faith, sharing the gospel with others. Amen. So again, I want to thank you as always. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for your word and helping us to get closer to you, Lord God. I pray that this episode will be something that will encourage and bless others as we share our faith. Help encourage us to share our faith with others in this episode. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this whole week, and help us have a good week this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. So again, as always, thank you for tuning in. Sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. All right, so let's get right into today's scripture reading. We are just going along through the book of Romans, and today we are just about at the end of the book of Romans. So just hang on in there. We are in Romans chapter 15 today, and this one will talk a little bit about living to please others, and then we will, if we have time, we'll get into Paul's reason for writing. So let's get right into it, and we'll kind of talk about it as we read through this. So Romans chapter 15 verse 1, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently on God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this reason I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." And in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah the prophet said, "To the heir of David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill completely with joy and peace because you trust him in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Such a beautiful passage of scripture. This is another excerpt or letter to the Gentiles. One of the things that I guess I really wasn't sure as I was reading the book of Romans. Some portions I wasn't sure whether or not Paul in this letter was writing to Jewish people, even though he was a Jew. But now I see that when the Lord, when he encountered the Lord, the risen Lord, basically, Paul, just a little bit of background. His name wasn't always Paul. His name was Saul before he was converted. And he was converted on the road to Damascus. And some of us may remember the story about when he was Saul, his former name. He was actually a persecutor of all Christians. During that time after Jesus had resurrected from the grave and had ascended to be with the Father, he commissioned all his disciples to go and make disciples. Well, with that, there was a lot of persecution. So one of the leading persecutors was Saul. And what I mean by persecution, I don't just mean like he was trying to discourage people and maybe whip people or scourge them or what have you. That's what they did, a lot of that at that day. But they also executed people for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was what was going on in Saul's day. And Saul was one of the leading persecutors. He was the one that was murdering Christians. So the wonderful thing about it was Saul encountered Christ on the road to the city of Damascus, and he was blinded by the glory of God. And Jesus began talking to him and telling him, you're persecuting me. When you persecute my followers or those that are preaching in my name, you're actually not persecuting them, you're actually persecuting me. Now, Saul knew the scriptures. Saul also was a studier, a student, or a teacher even of the scriptures. So he knew a lot of the Old Testament. He was very educated in that. So when he encountered the Messiah, then he fell to his face and he knew that this was the Lord. Long story short, he was converted. And as we're reading now, we're reading that he's written almost like they say a third of the New Testament. Books like that, as we're going through the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, Timothy, the book of Timothy, a lot of those books, I believe Hebrews was written by Paul as well. And these were, believe it or not, these weren't just books, even though they are books of the Bible. These were actually letters, and a lot of these letters was written by Paul, which his name is, after being converted, the Lord changed his name from Saul to Paul. And so with that being said, because he was converted and because his heart was changed and everything, he was on fire to really like spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people. And he was commissioned as an apostle because of the fact that he had encountered the risen Lord and he had become an apostle of Jesus Christ. So in other words, he was a representative. He was one that would represent Christ even unto Paul's death. Later, we discover that Paul, he himself was persecuted, and he himself was executed by being beheaded. And that was the way Paul was eventually, his life was ended as well, along with the disciples. I say that because, as I said before, I wasn't sure whether or not a lot of his letters were written to the Jews, but they were actually written for the Gentiles. So I'm really grateful to the writings of Paul. Now, you know, years later, I'm, you know, somebody like myself is reading the letters of Paul and benefiting from just his message about Christ and how we're all encouraged to pursue Christ in our lives and stuff. So this Romans chapter 15, we're noticing right now, it says living to please others. So let's kind of break this down just a tad bit. In verse 1, he says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. And I'm assuming when he means like this, he's probably referring back to chapter 14 that we went through when it comes down to where there are some Christians that feel that one day should be observed holy more than other days, or maybe some Christian believers feel it's honorable to honor the Lord by abstaining from certain foods, whether it be of meat or just eating vegetables or what have you. So, you know, we went through last time in the last episode, we read through chapter 14, which was a really good chapter to read about the different what Paul addresses the believers at that time about the differences of how we should all be getting along. So I'm assuming in verse 1 of chapter 15 is kind of referring back to chapter 14. So it says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about these things like this. So, you know, when he says strong, he doesn't mean physically strong. Of course, he means strong in the faith. Maybe a better way of saying it, and this is just in the New Living Translation, he also may also mean those who are mature. Let's see here. Matter of fact, let's see, in the NIV. Okay, so let's read this out of the read this out of the Amplified. He says, now we who are strong in our convictions and faith ought to patiently put up with the weakness of those who are not strong and not just please ourselves. So it's a pretty interesting wording, in my opinion, the way he used it. But yeah, it simply means that now who are strong in our convictions and faith. So also strong in your faith, okay? Even mature enough to understand that there's certain things that are not considered something of salvation purposes. You won't lose your salvation if you don't honor the Lord on certain days or what have you. Remember, I talked a little bit about my personal testimony with one of the gentlemen that was considered a brother of mine in the Lord, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And so it was a very interesting encounter with him. And I told you how pretty much the gist of this understanding was that we shouldn't argue about these. We shouldn't have these differences like this. So let's continue on here. In verse 2 of chapter 15, it says, "We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself, as the scriptures say." Now is a comparison here. It says, "The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." And this is a quote from the book of Psalms, chapter 69 and verse 9. So basically, you know, as believers, we're not to live to please ourselves. And I think that the theme of this so far is Paul is really driving home to us as believers that we should be living to please others. It is not only good for us, and it's not only good for others as far as we serving others and uplifting others and thinking of others more highly than ourselves, but it's also a testimony to the non-believing world. Again, as I said before, you know, as believers, we should be the example in the world that we are living in. We live in a world that is self-absorbed. Okay, self-absorbed. Everything's about me, and what am I going to get out of it? And what about my needs? What do I get out of this? If I sacrifice something, then I should get something in return. You know, as believers, we shouldn't even think like that. In other words, if you're going to do something for someone, then just do it because you're obeying the Holy Spirit. You're obeying the voice of the Lord. You're not doing it because, oh, I'm gonna do it because it's gonna make me look good. Maybe I'm gonna get brownie points in front of the Lord, or I'm going to, you know, God's gonna look upon me with favor and stuff like that. I think the Lord wants to change our hearts in such a way that we do things even if the Lord doesn't say a thing to us. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been at jobs where they'll tell you, don't just do good when the boss is around. Do good when the boss is not around, and do your work or do things appropriately, even when no one's looking. And it's the same thing with the Lord. See, a lot of times, you know, this is where our motives is. This is where God tests our motives. This is where I was even referring to at one point when I was talking about the deeds. Sometimes the Lord will test your deeds as a believer. He will test your deeds. In other words, there'll come a time where all the deeds that you do as good deeds, or how people may praise your deeds, God will test them in the fire. And the fire could mean not so much the virtual fire. We're talking about a fire of purification of intent. What was your intent? What was your motive of why you did it? And so if you did something and you was only doing it to get, you know, whatever motives it might have been, right? Self-centered motives, of course, then that deed will be in vain in the Lord's eyes. See? No matter how much you did, and it was in impure motives or selfish motives or whatever, God will judge that, and it won't be worth anything. One of the things to always remember, whatever we do, whether it's in deed or what have you, we do it as unto the Lord. Okay. And we do it because we love him and we want to please him, but we're doing it because we love the Lord anyway. Okay. So let's continue on here. And this was in verse 3, what he says, for even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Now, this was David talking about what had was been given to the Lord as insults is now also given unto me. There is and already has been a time where people who are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation, even in some foreign countries right now, they're being persecuted and they're being killed for the sake of the gospel. See, and the insults could be all the way up to a physical threat, physical killing, all the way to someone maybe they persecute you and they are bullying you because you love the Lord, or you're carrying your Bible, or you're preaching, or you're teaching, or you're sharing the word of God with other people. You know, they don't like you because you're a Christian. You know, they don't like you because you go to church. Okay. And so what do? They begin to harass you. They begin to speak ill of you. They begin to do things to antagonize you or to make your life miserable, or like make your life hard. He says, the scripture said, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me too. You know, the earlier test in the New Testament, when the disciples went through these persecuting times, they were whipped, they were thrown in prison, they were thrown in jail, and they felt it worthy to be able to be persecuted on behalf of the Lord. It, you know, some people will say it's better to be punished, you know, for doing what is right than to be punished for doing what is wrong. So let's read this further. In verse 4, it says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. So it's very important that we keep in mind not so much the gifts and everything else, but what God is going to eventually take us from this life into his presence, his glory. Okay. And in his glory and in his presence will be where God's blessings will be. Now, I'm not saying that you won't get God's blessings here on earth. You will. But I will say this. The blessings you get on earth is nothing compared to the blessings you'll get in heaven. The blessings you get on earth are material. Anything that you get blessed with here on earth is simply material. It's simply material blessings. It's simply temporary blessings. Because you know why? Because when you die, you won't be able to take any of that with you. Can you enjoy it? Yeah, you can enjoy it no matter what it is. Okay? But, you know, we live in a time too, and I'm just going to say this as a sidebar. We live in a time where there are preachers and pastors and ministries and churches still that are preaching. Their message is more about material blessings and about when they say you're blessed, you're blessed to have a nice big, you know, nice fancy car, a nice house, maybe a jet, and have two or three houses and so forth and so on. But that's material. Lots of clothes in your closet. And all those things are good, but again, they are just here temporarily. And the greater blessing is when you come face to face with the Lord in his heaven, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? That eternal blessing, nothing can take away. In other words, it's eternal. It will never fade. It will never go away. It will never end. Okay. As opposed to anything you get in this life. So that's just something that I wanted to bring up, because there's a lot of that. Still, there's, you know, we still got to pray for the church here, because of the fact that I feel like there's a lot of compromise in certain churches, even on, you know, now the good thing is the churches are now online. You can see a lot of them on YouTube. There's a lot of ministries and stuff like that. There's a lot of podcasts that are churches that are on the podcast and stuff as well. And you can get ministries and church. You just sit at home and watch church. But the thing about it is that a lot of these internet churches, I want to call them, they're just trying to get views, to get likes. They already have tons of people in the church. They got 3 or 4 churches. They got to fly from church to church and all that other stuff. And those are all well and good. But what happens is you begin to lose the message of Jesus Christ in the midst of that. The real message of humbleness and humility and serving others, you get lost in the magnitude of all this flamboyancy and flashiness, when it should only be about Jesus. And I think that there's so much going on in the church right now, compromise, trying to be culturally like the world, and they use excuses, especially when you call them out. They'll say, well, how are we supposed to reach the lost if we don't sound like the world, or maybe we don't dance like the world and stuff like that? You know, there's a lot of pushback, instead of just saying, hey, you know, we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to teaching God's word. So again, I didn't mean to go off on that sidebar like that, but that's just something that has been on my heart for a while. And this is why I feel like it's important for us to just pursue God. Like I always been saying, pursue him, pursue his spirit, get closer to the Lord, read his word, allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you. Okay. Let's continue on here. Now in Romans chapter 15, verse 5, he says here, it says, may God who gives this patience and encouragement help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Remember, if you are his son and his daughter or his brother, like it says, you know, if you're God's son or daughter, basically a child of God, then we ought to act like it. It says, may God who gives this patience and encouragement help you live in complete harmony with each other. So, you know, again, when we're a body of Christ, a body of believers, then these are the attributes and the characteristics that we ought to be holding on to: patience and encouragement. Okay. And we ought to be able to live in complete harmony. We, you know, in chapter 14, Paul addresses the differences of different believers who feel one thing is more important than the other. And I can only imagine that there becomes disputes, and dispute is opposite of harmony. In other words, it's this discourse and division. So God, you know, we're living in that time right now. There's also divisions in the body of Christ. See, so God doesn't want that. In other words, as the second half of verse 5 says, as fitting for followers of Christ. So that simply means that you as a follower of Christ ought to behave like one, ought to be like one. The world should be able to see Christ living in you. Okay? They should be able to see Christ's spirit, his attributes coming from you, because you're closer. The closer we get to the Lord, the more we need to start acting like the Lord. Acting like them. Not so much in a way talking, walking. We're talking about the characteristic, the fruit, or like the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, patience, long suffering, And there's a few others that I can't recall right now. But the fruit of the Spirit, okay, we have to begin to emulate what it is to be a Christian, what it is to live as a Christian. Listen to this in verse 6. It said, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise to God, to giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So important to understand that in verse 6. Then all of you can join together. All of you, not some of you, not a group of you, all of you can be with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see how all of it is in one, in unity, the way this is written? It's written in a way where it says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He includes the Father and the Son all together as one. Very important. Now, verse 7. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. It gives glory. It gives glory to God when we accept one another. Listen, the world has enough conflict with one another. We have conflict, whether we, political parties, Democrats or Republicans, conservative or liberal, whether you pro-life, pro-choice, whether you, whether you're black or white, whether you're from, and even within those groups, you could be dark black, light skinned black, you know what I'm saying? Hispanic or what, Mexican, or maybe I got that wrong. Some of you might correct me on that. Okay. We're all going to be different. We're all going to be different, but even though we're all different, we have something in common. And this goes back to what we talked about in Romans chapter 14. We should all come together. And like it says back here, when it tells us that in verse 6, then all of you can join together with one voice. That's one voice. That means everybody unifies, saying the same thing, giving praise and glory to God. Okay. Therefore, accept. He said, therefore. So in other words, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. He has accepted each and every one of us, so that God will be given glory. How is God glorified? Through seeing his body, who is one, okay, giving glory to him by accepting one another. Very important. Verse 8 says, remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. Let's read that one more time. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews. Remember, he came to the Jews first to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. So remember, God had made a covenant with his people. And when you read throughout the Old Testament scriptures, through the prophets, a lot of them have different passages in the Old Testament or in the prophetic scriptures, like the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, Hezekiah. Zechariah. It begins to talk about the coming of the Messiah in a lot of those, even some parts in the book of Psalms. It begins to point toward the Messiah. And the Messiah is, like they say, is one who will come to the Jewish people, to the Hebrews, right? So he was a gift to them. And we read earlier in the earlier chapters of Romans how the Jewish people had when he came as the Son of God, they had rejected him. They didn't even know who he was. They didn't recognize Jesus. See? So they rejected him and ultimately had him crucified, which was a benefit to us as Gentiles, because their rejection of Jesus, God turns around, and we again read this or go back to my other episodes where we read in Romans, I want to say, I can't remember what chapters it was at that time, but we talked about where God would rouse the jealousy of the Jewish people by sending Jesus and his salvation to the Gentiles so that we could benefit from the Jewish people's rejection of Jesus. But don't be fooled by that, because again, God keeps his promise to the Jewish people. So no matter what the rejection happened, it shows here that God's promise to the Jewish people is more stronger than any rejection that the Jewish people at that time can do. So always remember that. I think I've heard of some things about, there are people now, Christians now, they're saying that, oh, well, you know, he's done with the Jewish people. No, he's not. If God made a promise to the Jewish people back in the times of Abraham, when he first had covenant with Abraham, then guess what? That promise, God never takes his promise away. And the only way you say he take his promise away, if he says it in his word. And he never has said that I've taken my promise away, I've walked away from my own people. No, he's never said that. His covenant is what you call an eternal covenant. It's a covenant that's not even though there's been so much going on between his people and God, but he never stopped loving them. His covenant stands today. So what is the promise? The promise that is coming and will be fulfilled and still has to be fulfilled in our time. And this is why I say, for us as Gentiles, we too should be praying for the salvation of the Jewish people as well. So that's for another topic. Another episode. And so let's go on here. It says he also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. This is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." This is in one passage out of the book of Psalms. And in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles. And yet again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." In another place, Isaiah wrote, "The heir to David's throne will come." Okay, speaking of Jesus. "And he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope in him." So you see here, these were all quotes out of the Old Testament. And these were all scriptures that Paul reminds us in this letter that the promise that came to the Jewish people is also beneficiary to us Gentiles. See, God wanted to bring us in. And we see now, when it says, "For I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing praises to your name." This ought to, for us, we should never ever forget how good it is and how merciful God is for him to love us as much as he loved his own children. This is something that we as Gentiles, as people who are not of Jewish nature, we should be thankful and grateful that God has loved us and will love us and count us his own. Amen. So And let's end this with this. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see that? So he ends it by saying, I pray that the God, the source of hope, he is the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. And remember that part right there. You are filled with hope or joy. I'm sorry, joy and peace because what? Because you trust him. Today, have joy and peace. Why? Because your faith in him. Because you put your trust in him. Then it says on the second half of this, it said, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And always remember that. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus went away so that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is he himself that lives in you, that resides in you, that directs you and guides you, that goes before you. He's now living in you as a born again believer. The Holy Spirit now is indwelling you. And this is something that we, even as Gentiles, like it says in the scripture, we should embrace that. And we should embrace that and count this as a privilege of God's mercy and God's grace upon each and every one of us, that we are counted as worthy, that he would even turn to us and give us also the gift of his Holy Spirit so that we can fulfill the mandates of God here on earth. We're all one family, even among the Jewish people. So understand that. There is not one group and another group. We are all one. So let's take a quick short break here. I know I went a little long in this segment, but we'll be right back. All right, so welcome back. So we're going to conclude this episode by finishing up reading in Romans chapter 15. We're going to start on verse 14. And this is called Paul's Reason for Writing. I am fully convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other all about them. Even so, I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I work among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. I'm sorry about that pronunciation. Verse 20 says, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather where a church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures, where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places. But now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain. When I do, I will stop off in Rome. And after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles receive the spiritual blessing of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. As soon as I have delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain. And I am sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation. And I am taken to Jerusalem then by the will of God. I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart, and we will be encouraged. We will be an encouragement to each other. And now, may God who gives us his peace be with you all. Amen. So, what do you guys think of that? It's such a beautiful ending to a letter, obviously here, that was written by the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles there in Rome. And it was really nice, a really, really nice fitting end to this. Paul had done a lot of traveling, as he said, going to Spain. He started off and then stop off in Rome. He'll be with them and be with them for a little while. And then you notice he went to the Macedonia and Achaia, and the city that I couldn't pronounce there was Illyricum, I believe that was. And so he has been basically his missionary journeys of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things that I want to, before we close with this, is how important it is at that time where what I'm getting from this, from what Paul in this letter has been saying, is how his journey and his goal was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that has never heard. Okay, so let's see here. I'm trying to recall this. In verse 21, he says here in verse 21, I have been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures, where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. Okay, and so I think that's a very beautiful quote, because that should be our mission. Our mission, especially now, those of us that are saved and those that have been have the full knowledge of God in our lives, and hopefully we're we're mature enough to be able to share Christ with others. Understand this was Paul's, this was one of Paul's things too. And I want to point this out too. One of the things that I enjoyed reading about with Paul was when he says they were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. Okay. And one of the things that I want to say about this is the fact that when you're among other people, when you're among the world that you're living in, people have to see, not just before they hear the gospel, they need to see the gospel. They need to see God's miraculous work in your life. Okay. They want to see how, like it says here, about the power of God's Spirit working in you. A lot of times, you know, people are convinced and they're moved by God's work in your life before you even say anything, before you even tell your testimony. Your testimony should be what you do in action and in deed, because, and this is why I feel like a lot of times the church almost gets it wrong sometimes, because we're more into the performance and you know, being on stage and you know, doing all these antics. And what we really should be doing is we really should be convincing and telling others how to minister to people outside of the church. You know, we can have big churches and big ministries, but if we're not saving people, then the only thing you're doing is having a club of people that come together and they're getting, you know, financially to the church and stuff like that, and which is nothing wrong. The church should be, if anything, the local church should be a vehicle in which when people, when the congregation comes together and give, that money needs to go to, like Paul is talking about, to the poor, to those that need to hear the word of God, that needs to be saved. Okay. And I think that's the one thing that we really have to make sure that we keep our focus on. We need to keep our focus on, why do you go to church? You go to church for fellowship, to come together, just kind of like what Paul even said earlier. He talked about that, wanting to, you know, as he came and he would fellowship with those that were in, I want to say in Jerusalem. And so he wanted to fellowship, give a time of fellowship. And that's what we should be doing. Let's see here. So let's also talk about in verse 20, in Romans 15. He says, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church, see, he says, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. So what Paul here is really talking about is he is talking about going outside the church. He is talking about going out in places where the church has not reached yet. And so the church has its place where it comes in and people know about it, and they know to come to there to be fed spiritually and nurtured. But Paul's ambition here, if you notice that, it says where the name of Christ has never been heard. And so he enjoys presenting Christ to someone that's never heard of Christ before, never heard of God. I'm sure, think about it, you know, think about it long enough, you know people, you know someone or people that has never heard God before, heard Christ before. Maybe they heard of religion, maybe they heard of a church before, maybe they have heard of God, but they don't really know from a personal way how much God loves them, how God truly loves them. Maybe they had a bad experience. Excuse me. There are so many different examples in the world around you where God can use you to share the salvation of the Lord. You know, I say this quite a bit. I know I do, and I repeat it a lot in a lot of my episodes. But the world around us is full of bitterness and sadness and hatred. You know, there's a lot of corruption that goes on in our world. Everywhere, people have somewhat lost hope that there will be anything good that comes in the world. Pray to God that God will use you to be a light in a world that is full of corruption and darkness. Pray. Pray that God can use you to impact the world around you. Pray that God can make you, give you the boldness that you need to be a light to someone in your life. You know, when you think about it, the world right now we live in, has a major influence on the culture today. You know, whether it's what we see on the news, what we see in the culture, what's going on out there in the streets, and there's so many bad things that are happening in our world, happening just in our cities and our nation, but also in other countries. See things on social media now, because social media is now a big thing. People are engulfed in Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all these other venues in which, you know, people are now looking at social media, and it's almost giving a window into a world that is corrupt, is bad. So ask the Lord to show you how to be a light. Create, and this is what I do. I create my own way into this world. So like social media, I post the Bible verses of the day. You know, some of you may do a YouTube channel where you're just praying, or a TikTok. I've seen people on TikTok that are praying, praying at their kitchen table, and they opening up social media, their live social media, to people that may want to join to just have a time of prayer. Okay. Maybe some of you are pretty versed in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, like never before has there ever been a time that we're living in right now that the world needs to hear your voice. The world needs to hear your voice. There's somebody that is out there that's looking through social media, looking through YouTube, looking through TikTok, looking through Instagram, Facebook, and they're just looking for someone that will give them hope. And if you're that person, I pray that the Lord will use you. Use you. Okay? Remember this, and as we close, Paul's ambition, it says, has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. So remember that. Remember, before you get on somewhere, on a social media, on the podcast, on YouTube, making a video, your ambition needs to be like what Paul has. That the name of Christ, that the gospel, the good news, can be preached and reach someone that's never heard it before. Pray that someone is inspired, someone, you know, is reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let that be your ambition. Now, as we come to a close, we see that Paul's travel plans. He planned to go to Spain, stop off in Rome. And after he says, so I had that wrong. He wanted to enjoy some fellowship with them in Rome for a little while. Okay. Then he said, you can provide for my journey. If you notice here, as he's going on and he's talking in this letter, he says, but before I come, I must go to Jerusalem and take a gift to the believers there. And so he says, for you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. Okay. So the city of Jerusalem was definitely a place where Paul was headed to, but he wanted to take a financial gift so that people can go ahead and support the poor there. Okay. It says they were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. And it says, since the Gentiles receive the spiritual blessing of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least they could do is in return is to help them financially. So this is a good example of where money, okay, where money is used to help the church or help the poor, to help the community. So understand that. And I know that I know I have been kind of critical at some point of, you know, how churches have mishandled money, ministries have done it. So you want to be a part of a ministry that is taking the financial needs of not only the ministry, but it is a pathway to assisting the community around it. I remember being involved at a church in California where every around the holidays, even throughout the summer, they were doing things in the community, and it costs money to do it. But the beautiful thing was that the congregation, the members of that church was happy and enthusiastic about giving because they knew that the money that they were sowing into the ministry was going to go for a great cause to help people in their community. They could see where their money was going. It is good to make sure that the church is being fed and the upkeep of the church and people are being paid that work full time. Of course, yes, the pastor, if he's a full-time pastor or she's a full-time pastor, but this is not just so that the pastor can look good and he can brag about the cars he's got and all the houses he got and he can go fly here, fly there. Listen, I personally don't have too much wrong with a person that has wealth and money, but with more wealth and with more money and resources, that should be encouraging you to give out of your resources. If you are a person of wealth, if you have a wealth of resources and money, then your extraordinary giving should be even more than those that can hardly give. Remember, I'm gonna tell you this. Remember the story in the Bible is called the widow's mite. She was a widow. That means she had a husband. She had no husband. The only thing she could give was just the little bit of change she had left. There was someone else that came to the temple, and he had given too, but he was able to give a lot more. But even though he gave a lot more than the widow, according to Jesus, when he talked about it, had given way more than what this man or this individual that had a lot of money was able to give. Listen, we don't even know if he was given so much money that even though it wasn't a struggle for him. But with this widow, and she gave her last. It was a sacrifice. Okay. So, and I say this because those that are wealthy, again, as I said, those that have money, they should be the first to be able to support a ministry, support your ministry in the area of the homeless, the people that in these programs, jail ministries and things like that. That money should, their money should be pushed forward to these different things. Okay? In other words, it doesn't give nobody glory to see you rolling around in a Rolls Royce, okay, or Bentley. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with these cars. But I am saying, though, with more money that you have, I think what needs to stand out more than the wealth and the material blessings you have is how much you give out of your resources toward things that people need and have need of. And also to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means your money should be used to fund programs or a ministry that needs help with a website for their church. Maybe needs help to put their ministry on a social media channel, on a radio station, on television, where the gospel can be spread. So those are great areas for people that have the wealth. They should be able to be in the forefront, and that's where their money should be going toward. Not, oh, let's be all flashy and see how much clothes I got and my fancy shoes and things like that. Listen, man, it should be all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, not about your three-piece suit, not about your fancy car or cars, all right? Not about you getting on television or YouTube or whatever and saying, showing all your material blessings off. No. Matter of fact, the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Nobody needs to know how much flashy stuff you have, how much material things you have. And we talked about this before. There's going to come a time where you're going to leave all that behind. So one thing, yes, make sure you have a plan to leave your wealth behind for your family and your children's children. That's something wise to do. But invest in things of the kingdom of God. Remember, we're supposed to be heavenly minded, eternally minded. So anyways, I know I kind of veered off into that section right there, but about material and wealth and how we should be sowing for eternal gain, not so much for financial and material gain. There are so many people in this world that need our help. They need our help. We need our help financially. And I'm not saying that you do it financially without spreading the gospel. We need Christian millionaires, billionaires that believe in the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? We need people like you that can use your money and your influence to advance the kingdom of God, not just through a church, but sometimes you yourself need to get out and create these programs. Create these programs to get people off the street. Create these programs that will help people that are on drugs, that are in jail. They help young kids further their education. You know, help college students. Help single mothers that are coming out of abusive situations. Help men that are incarcerated that's trying to get their life together and get back on their feet. Their money can go a long ways. And God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. Remember the parable about the talents and how God had blessed one with many talents and then he got down to one where God blessed him with one talent. Don't be like the person that had the one talent. Well, I didn't think that, you know, since I only had one, I didn't have much, so I just buried it and I didn't do anything with it. God is going to punish you. He's not going to look kindly upon you if you don't use your resources for the good of the world and for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did you do with your time? What did you do with all the wealth that you have? So, anyways, I know I kind of went a little long on that one, but I want you all to pray about how God, how the Holy Spirit can use you, how He can use you in the way in which is good to push out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're living in the final days of time. Whether we make it to the end or you pass away or the church is raptured out of here, but we got to remember to keep our hearts and minds focused on Him. That means pursue Him. And I say this almost at every podcast, every episode: pursue God. Make God the number one priority, the number one priority, so that you can be counted, so that your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that your works will not be in vain, but be glorified in heaven. You want God, when you'd pass from this life, to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Like Paul doing all those travels and everything. What was he doing? His desire was to preach the good news in areas that to people that has never heard of Jesus Christ. Let that be, like he says, let that be your ambition. Amen. Well, God bless you. I hope that you have a wonderful week this week. I pray that you continue to strive forward. Listen, you can catch me on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts, as well as any other podcast that you can hear me on, iHeartRadio, I believe, also as well, Pandora, and any place that has that you can listen to podcasts. You can actually find my podcast at Larry's Biblecast. Really appreciate it. Reach out, give me a comment, give me a rating if you want to. I appreciate that. This is all for my ambition, is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not here to gain a lot of followers. I'm not here to gain a big audience. That's never been my thing. I just love the opportunity to be able to share the good news with however many people tune in. Thank God that you're here, and I want to encourage you to keep doing what God has called you to do in this time that we have left here on earth. Amen. Well, God bless you. I'll be talking to you soon.